Welcome everyone to round six of the Big Footy podcast. We've got Wayne and Steve's joined us back in Australia at the moment, and we have a special guest this evening. No, we're not talking about the Melbourne Football Club. We're talking about Freddie Mercury. Welcome aboard, mate.
Thank you, guys. How are we?
Yeah, good Wayne, Steve, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, going well in real life, but Supercoach team, not too good, fellas.
I think I'm a bit of both, actually.
I'm happy to end the podcast here and not talk about Supercoach either right now, but here we are. So let's run through our teams at the moment. Why don't you start off, Steve, and tell us a bit about your team and how you're going and what's pissing you off, or maybe what's going right, because that'll take less time.
Yeah, so here it is. Absolute shocker. Rank 16K at the moment. What are we? Seven rounds in, and I scored 2, 4, 3, 5, and that's a bad score. Crazy season indeed. I got as high as 2K in round two, and then it's been last two rounds have just really killed me. But yeah, look, my team's shaping up. I guess my defense is like putrid. I have Hewitt, who may miss another week. I got Short, and I still have Ridley and Whitfield, so that's not great. I decided to keep Hinge over McCartan, which I'm hoping he's going to play. Like, Adelaide's got, what, two or three forced outs, and then they got smashed, so there might be a few droppings as well. So I'm hoping Hinge returns. In the midfield, I brought in Titch, because I'm an idiot, and yeah, that's pretty much it. I think he's averaging, 85 for me, which is awesome. I missed the two big scores, got sucked in, and then brought him in. I have the Goey, who was doing well before his gastro. I started the Goey, and yeah, so he's missed 1 week with suspension, and then, you know, a couple of low scores, so that's not great. My midfield bench is horrendous. Still got McDonald. I brought in Hobbs because Roses missed. That kills me. And I'm going to trade him out to McComb this week. So nice little, what did he make, 10K? Did he even make 10K? Yeah, if that 10K. Beautiful. Love that. Love throwing away trades for 10 grand. and then I still have that spud Brady Hoff from West Coast. The praying mantis. He is too small for AFL, but I'm hoping he gets a game, especially because I think I saw that Witherden and Nelson have COVID and are going to miss. So if Hoff can't get a game this week with two defenders going out, then he's never going to play. Gorney and Pruce and Hayes in the rucks. Luke Jackson, absolute superstar. When I didn't own him, a little bit of comedy gold for you boys. Traded Cripps out when he got injured to Luke Jackson for a 68, a 60, and then out with COVID. And Hugh Dixon's 42 came on. So total points, 150? If I just kept Cripps, I would have been, 150 plus points better off. So that's great. Really, really happy with that. Bought in Roses, still have Hugh Dixon and Durden. That's pretty much the current status of the team. Cripps is coming in this week. I don't know how I'm going to do it because I need to access Dacos and O'Driscoll money down back, which means I need to bring in a back defender, I'm going to have to go blind on somebody, or I'm going to grab Zach Reed from the Bombers, but he's so expensive. I might just grab Warner from Frio. I don't know. If somebody debuts, I'm grabbing them. If there's no cheap players, then I'm just going to take a punt. Probably Hobbs will be traded out, and then maybe one of Dixon and Durden just to try to get the funds. But yeah, last week I got Oliver. I really wanted Parker, but I don't know. I just thought Oliver was going to go back-to-back 170s. I don't know. There's so many value players, and, you know, even players who are just in good form, and yeah, you can't get them all. But I don't know. My team's shaping up, I think. When I add Cripps to that midfield, I won't have many rookies on field, so. Yeah,
well, for me, I don't know how you beat me with that team you just put up on the screen there that no one else can see, but you did. I was tossing up all last week between Short and Witherden, and I literally made the decision with 30 seconds to go on the clock and thought, stuff it, everyone's got Short, I'll just go with Short. And he's pumped out a 152, which was an excellent start to the weekend. And then now we've heard that Witherden's gone, so, or possibly out with COVID. So that's probably my trade of the year so far. Sinclair and Hewitt down back. I really need Hewitt back this week. Dacos, O'Driscoll and De Koning sitting at D4 to D6, which is just a bucket of shit, let's be honest. That superstar midfield that I started the year with, Steele, McRae, Neil, Oliver and Took. And I bought Rory Laird in at some stage. I think I brought him in for Aaron Hall when he went down. Also bought Brody Smith in, and I've got back-to-back, I think, 86 and a 95 this week. He goes straight to Quips, and I'll make a profit out of that, which just seems absolutely amazing at this time of the year. Gorn Proust Hayes, which I think every serious punter has except Wayne. Up forward, Dunkley Butters, Cogs, Martin, McCartan, and Dixon will go this week for Parker. So looking at bringing in Clark, Cripps, and Parker this week, which would be three really good ins for me, and that'll draw up my team a little bit. Sort of comes down to what's happening down that back line, and I'm with you, Steve. I hope Hinge comes back because I've kept him all this time, and if he doesn't come back, I'll be a little pissed off.
I don't think so, guys. I think you might.
Always.
If I'm a betting man, I think you might find Malira will come in this
week.
Are
you a betting man?
No, I'm not. Actually, I've never.
Oh, good. So he's
never
back.
Had a bet.
Surely he's coming back. Like
no, listening to the presser today from Van Berlo. All the chat was around the form of Malira. So,
well, who will come in for? I mean, Scholl was like you just had a big loss at home, and you've had some good form. Surely it won't just be the two concussion omissions. Like there has to be somebody getting dropped. Like Haitley hasn't been playing well.
No,
Shelley as well
didn't have a good game. They won't drop with Shelley, but Cook just had a bad game. Scholl had a bad game. Like surely Hinge is coming in. Like he wasn't bad. Like he was great before he got a very unlucky injury, and then they started winning games. Like he,
well,
if he doesn't come back, I'm gonna flip. I'm actually gonna flip out.
If they replace Haitley, which they will, because he is hopeless. I still draft pick number 14. He was, but the guy is so slow, and he doesn't have any number one wood at all.
I'm with you, Wayne. I don't think Hinge will come back, and Hewitt will be out because Sam De Koning has started on my field for 7 rounds, and I cannot get the prick off the ground. So the only way he doesn't get on the ground this week is if Hinge doesn't play. So he's guaranteed not to.
No, I think you'll find Malira will come in on the halfback flank to replace Smith, who's concussed, and they'll bring in a midfielder to replace Haitley. I think you'll find the wings won't change.
I think Adelaide Moore was wanted to bring Malira in as that backman anyway, I think. So,
he's on a 5-year contract. They're not going to let him at the end of the seconds. For too long.
Yeah. So I think he is one to watch anyway, so.
Yeah, no. I don't mind the fact that he's played 4 or 5 games in the snaffle.
Mm.
When he comes back, he's going to be in form. So, yeah, he wouldn't be a bad pick. He's a bit expensive now to try and bring him in. But, no, don't be surprised if Hinge doesn't get picked.
I reckon he's coming in. I am a betting man, and I put good money on him coming in. I reckon you'll move Dawson up the field, which frees up a spot down back, even if Miller comes in for Smith. McHenry goes out. You know, Cook can move forward. I just think there's actually quite a bit of versatility in your halfback, your wing, and your half forward like spots. There's a bit of overlap there, especially with Dawson. Like Dawson should not be playing halfback. He should be on a wing.
Yes,
I agree.
So, yeah, I think Hinge is coming back in.
So just to round out my team then, Steve thinks his mid-bench stuff is stuff. Well, I've got Howe, Owens and Cox, all three not playing. So I'm looking forward to getting someone there on the bench. Wayne, take us through your team.
Let's have a look. Okay. I'm actually not too bad with my side. I've got, you know, Hewitt, Short. I bought, what's the Vlastun? What, how do you say his name?
Vlastun, I believe.
Vlastun. I thought it was Vlastun, yeah, Vlastun.
Yeah. And
Hang on. They said on Fox the other night it's Vlastun.
I have heard of Vlastun as well.
Yeah, he wants it Vlastun. I think that's how he wants it pronounced now. That they've issued something to all the journalists saying the hard names, and he wants Vlastun. Okay.
Well,
yeah,
I actually watched that. Yeah, I heard that.
I isolated all week between Vlastun and Parker. Up until 2 minutes to go, I still had Parker. But I really wanted to strengthen my back line with Hewitt out. And Vlastun stood to make $50,000 this week. And I was looking to make some extra cash because I didn't go with Preuss. So I needed to bring some cash generators in. So I went Vlastun and wasn't unhappy with 110. My problem now, looking at my back line, is that Hewitt, Short, Vlastun, Whitfield and Gipkus, they're all around 12 players.
I was about to say that to you. Yeah, your buyers might be hurt a bit.
Yeah, so I've got a bit of a problem there. In my midfield.
No. If we're going to enter the buy discussion, I don't subscribe to that whatsoever. I reckon you just get the best players you possibly can. And I reckon if you're sacrificing the best player, you get the second best player or third best player because they've got a buy in the wrong round, you're sacrificing your team. I mean, all you got to worry about in those buy rounds is you've got 18 on the park. It doesn't matter if they're primos or rookies or anything. It's just got to be 18 players because over the three rounds combined, you'll get two scores from each player.
Yes.
So I reckon don't worry about the buys. Just get the best players you can.
Yeah, I agree to that. And come buy rounds. To some extent.
Even if you have one donut, no big deal. It's a problem if you've got three or four donuts, but I don't think you should structure your whole team around the buys. I've never subscribed to that.
Yeah, and just well, I mean, especially looking at your team, you know, you might lose a heap in your back line, but I may be wrong here, but I don't think I am. I think the only one you'll lose from your midfield is Steele. So you're still going to have...
I have Cripps as well. Cripps
around 12 as well. Okay, yeah, but by then you'll make a few more trades. You might get an extra one in. So if you have six, you know, super primos in the middle with a few rookies, I think you'd be right.
Yeah. So I still would love to get Parker in. I don't think he's going to move too much in price. He might move another $20,000-$30,000. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I can bring him into my forward line. But
you got Brayshaw after all that.
Happy with my midfield. This week I've traded Dixon out for McComb and then upgraded Dacos to Cripps. This is after I roasted you all week for trying to trade Dacos.
You know, it's funny, Wayne, on this podcast, I think in pre-season, I rubbished you for getting Andy Brayshaw and you laughed at me in round three saying how bloody well he was going.
Yes.
And I noticed that he's made an appearance in your team and scored a 77.
Yes. Well, to my defence, I wasn't expecting too much from any of the Fremantle players playing down at the Cattery. So I kind of wrote that game off. And I was actually happy with the way, O'Driscoll played. He still only got 57, but all in all, I wasn't happy with the scores that I got from the Cattery. I think this week they're back at Optus Oval. Hopefully none of my players catch COVID in the next few days. We'll have to see how that all develops. But happy with the midfield. Got Gorn and Witz as my two ruckmen. So I've obviously missed out on Preuss, which means I'm down a primo somewhere else in the team compared to other people. And I'm happy with my forward line.
Which is a good pick.
So the beauty is, and the problem with Rochelle is I've still got a lot of DPPs with Rochelle, Martin, McDonald, Pedler. So I can move my players around quite well at the moment. So I'm not unhappy with the side.
Freddie, what do you got?
Just one second. I'm just going to bring it up. Be one second. Sorry, guys. I should be more organized than this.
That's right. Just to left of your radio dial for those listening at home.
Sorry, guys. I should be more organized. I was just tinkering my side as I was making. Okay, I'll share my screen. All right, so I'm sure you guys can see it. If you can guys see it?
Yep,
got it. Yeah, mate, you're right.
Yeah, right. So obviously, you know, pretty par score to be honest this week compared to some monster scores. I think I saw a 2-6 plus in one of the comments. But anyway,
I got to interrupt because I'm about to fall off my chair here. That midfield. Can you just jump straight to the midfield because we need to talk about that because that's insane.
Well, I'm the insane because I boosted this week. So I only got 21 trades left, but I had to boost to utilize getting Petrarca in, I think, at a cheap price before he just blows me out of the water. So sort of had to bite the bullet and get Clark in 1 week early. I mean, it was either him or Carroll. You know, I think you have to get one of them in this week because you can't get them both in the same week or else be quite hard upgrading, I think, to two keepers. But yeah, the one up, one down, I think, is a good thing to do. So, I mean, yeah, so my midfield's good. I think my forward and back six are quite weak. So, obviously, some work needs to be done there. I mean, George Short coming back will be great, but I think he's going to miss another week by all reports. Yeah, could be wrong. Also, wouldn't mind a rookie coming in as well in the back line. It'd be bloody marvellous.
So because we're doing audio only and the viewers can't see, I'm just going to go over Freddie's midfield.
I probably should have gone.
That's all right. He has Steele, McRae, Neil, Oliver, Tuk Tuk, Brayshaw, Track, and Cripps at M8, just casually averaging 121 with a 30 in there. So you have a completed midfield. That's like... People don't get a midfield like that after 15 rounds typically.
Yeah, so that was my goal to get them all sorted for the buys because I feel like you can pick off the rest in between the buys at discount prices. Purely because last year I struggled to get a midfield buy, I think around 18. So I said to myself this year I'm just gonna bite the bullet and just go harder than midfield. I actually never owned Cripps until this week. I bought him in this week. As I was telling before we started recording for Tim English, I was trying to hold him as long as I could. But with Grundy going out, it kind of stuffed up my trading plans and I had to just get him out and bring in some rookies and upgrades. But yeah, I mean, it's an okay side, but I mean, there's some holes in there that are quite weak. But we'll get there. It's a long year.
It's an interesting call because I was going to bring Cripps in M8 this week and complete my side as well. But then I sort of looked at what Greg Clark did, and the fact that Carroll from Carlton looked bloody good as well. And I just thought, you know what, I'll bring Parker in instead, and then I'll just loop Clark and Carroll at M8 because having Clark and Carroll sitting on your bench, I reckon, was a danger. That was just a wasted position for me. So that's why I've opted not to go for that M8 this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think Clark is a proven player anyway. I mean, I think he got best on ground in the grand final last year. I mean,
Yeah,
and the mature age crew, you got to pick him. Proven he's going to play. He can't not play on that side. I mean, is their future? Well, not their future going 10 years time, but I mean, in the interim, I think he's going forward probably going to be in their most top 10. I think top 10 best players. I think going forward, considering a lot of their older players are on the outer, I believe. It's a long road back for the Eagles. I think so. He has to play, and I mean, I think it's a good safe pick to go early. I think.
So what about rookies that we need to get rid of? So obviously the ones that are maxed out and not really making any cash now are Durden, McDonald, Hinge really, McCartan if you're still holding him, although he's probably back this week, but they may even take another week and be cautious. Sam De Koning's giving himself a bit of life for the 77, but O'Driscoll's maxed, Dacos is maxed. we're at that stage now. I reckon there's about five or six rookies in everyone's team that probably need to be culled. But what's the priority, you reckon, gents?
I think if you're holding Hayes like I am, you must get rid of him, obviously, for a rookie. McDonald as well, I believe. I think he's a dead rookie. He's just going to stagnate between.
He's got the DPP, price. Though. He's got the DPP with his hand returning.
That's the only thing that I like about him.
Yeah, I think I may hold McDonald forever. I think I'm in that. I like, unless he gets 250 plus on a random spike game where he just slots three goals, which I think is possible.
Yeah, it is.
I think he's going to get the rest this week. I think they were just, you know, 1 week Ward, 1 week, 1 week McDonald, because his time on ground is just like dropping every single week. So I want him to get rested. Give him 2 weeks. I don't even care. Just he's got to get more than 62% time on ground. That's not going to help him. But he's a good little player. And yeah, I just can't keep trading out these, you know, players 200K or less. I've already, you know, I bought in Dill Stevens and traded him out straight away. So, you know, I've got Hoff. Like, there's just so many dead rookies, like,
Steve, the thing with carrying. Steve, the thing with McDonald, he scored so poorly, but Hawthorn have been, they just keep playing him. And I think that's a really good sign that they're going to put a lot of games into the guy. There's no way that I'm trading him. His DPP, but he's going to be up there playing every week. He'll be one of the last that I cull.
But so's, I mean, Durden will play every week. So will Nick Dacos, and probably so will Driscoll.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just hold someone just because they're playing every week, especially if they're scoring 40s and 50s every single week. So that's the danger of McDonald. I think the DPP saves him.
That's right.
I think O'Driscoll at the moment, I looked at the stats the other night, I think 9% of coaches have taken him out this week, and I'm obviously taking him out as well. I'm trading to Parker. So I think McDonald is saved by his DPP, but I don't think just because he's got a spot in the side that he's a keeper.
Well,
let's
just say that in terms of priority, I'd be trading out Gipkus, De Koning,
really?
McCartan, because you can, well, that's where you're making
maybe
your
not
money.
Wayne, you lost me there.
Gipkus is going really well.
That's where you're making Gipkus, your money. You're not making Gipkus money hasn't, trading out McDonald.
No, because Gipkus,
Gipkus is going to get Gipkus over 300K.
Negative break even. He's minus 11, break even.
Yeah, he's got at least 100 grand left minimum, I reckon.
No. Yes. See, McDonald's in that category of, like, he's going to struggle to get over 250K even if you leave him in the long haul. Someone like, you know, a Durden. Like, Durden will probably have another spike game where he scores, like, 80 or 90 and just slots three goals or something. Like, it's going to happen. This always happens. Like, it happened a lot last year. But he's just in a different category, like, compared to the other ones. Like, De Koning, Gipkus. Like, the thing with Gipkus is he's on the receiving end of all the kick-ins. They're using him as their, like, exit. Like,
he's their bailout option.
He's their bailout. So he's, like, especially the last few weeks, I reckon Gibbs is going to get to 350.
Yes.
And I'll be bloody happy with that.
The thing with that is I can't upgrade my defence without using some of those players.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I totally get that.
Like, this week, I couldn't get Cripps without using Dacos.
Yeah. No, I get that. Dacos is
almost maxed out.
I think it's okay to get rid of Dacos and O'Driscoll, and but Gipkus, you've got to hold him as long as you can because he's going to make another 100K.
I wasn't saying about trading him out this week or next week, but I would be trading those guys out before I trade McDonald out. See, McDonald is playing half forward midfield. He's going to have some breakout games after he has a rest. Whereas,
he's got sub all over him too.
He's just going to get the ball.
But players like Durden, Rochelle, small forwards, you're going to keep copping 30s and 40s out of them. So I'd be culling them. Keep McDonald, McComb. If you look at McComb this week, his average is only 50. But if you look at his possession, 21 possessions last week. Now, I'll go with a rookie who's getting a lot of the ball. He'll clean up his disposal, but I prefer to get McComb, who's getting 21 disposals, rather than a player that's is getting four or five disposals a week, like a Hobbs.
Well, do you think he holds his spot?
Yeah.
If he keeps getting 20 possessions plus a week, he will.
I think Beveridge shows a lot of faith in the young kids compared to, you know, Leon Cameron, you know.
The Doggies have good history with giving us rookies and giving them extended runs. I watched the Doggies Anthony game. Scott. Yeah, exactly. And McNeil was okay as well.
Yeah, they're great.
Look, McComb's playing on a wing. Like, he's just lining up on a wing and the spot's vacant. He was he got 21 touches. He was in good spots. He managed two goals. He just had some absolute howlers by foot. I'm talking like real bad, like five or six absolute shockers, like 20-meter passes that landed like 3-4 meters in front of the player, like just really, really bad. So I don't know. Is he going to clean that up? Maybe, but I reckon he's going to get a run.
That's a 26-year-old player that's played the last 4 or 5 years in the VFL who is trying to adjust to the pace of AFL. Now, it's not going to do that in one game or two games.
But here's the problem we've got, right? So we've got McComb, we've got Clark, we've got Carroll, and we've got Hamilton. And I reckon the four of them all look like good, really, really good rookies. We can't trade two in this week and two in next week, surely. We can't make two downgrades.
No. So I think it's two of the three priorities. I feel like you need two of the three. I think you need two. I think you definitely need Clark and the other one. Yeah, it's a flip of the coin, to be honest.
I'm planning for the three. I want McComb, Carroll, and Clark on my mid bench, and I don't care if I have to call it a late rookie correction.
What about Hamilton? Because Hamilton is a no for me.
He's just not a possession getter. He averaged like 13 at junior level. You're banking on him getting 10 tackles. Otherwise, he's not going to score 70 plus. Whereas McComb's an accumulator. Carroll is just like a really smart player and he's an accumulator. Like, he only had two CBAs on the weekend, like one or two. Like, Hewitt's not really going to affect him. And wing and half forward is like, they've got some, like, that's the Blues' weakest spot. Like, they're playing like Cottrell on a wing and Nunes. They're like really inconsistent and Zach Fisher. So, like, if he keeps playing like that, he'll play every week. And then obviously Clark is Clark. So I don't know. I'm thinking of just biting the bullet and just getting all three of them. But yeah, I think you definitely need two. And I would take McComb over Carroll, seeing the two games, obviously two games versus one. So more sample size. Obviously Clark's a standout. Like, he's like their best midfielder at the moment. Like, you just have to take him. But I don't know. I'm not keen on Hamilton. I'm not either.
He's a pass.
He's playing in the back line. He's going to get like no more than 15 touches. And yeah, like I said, unless he gets like 8 tackles, he's not scoring well.
I agree.
Yeah, I think he had 6 tackles on the weekend. Hamilton did have that though. He had 5 tackles on the weekend, so that's 20 points straight off the bat. He doesn't even need to touch the ball; just 20 points starting a head start from a tackle.
Yeah, there's also the GWS factor. That's like the big one. He's got a couple of defenders and halfbacks who were racking up big numbers. Where that guy WEHR or something, and then Fahey as well. They're in like the bests almost every week in the VFL, so they're obviously pushing for roles down back. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to pick any GWS rookies. But okay, so wait, don't you guys, did we all get Roses?
Yeah, yes.
So everyone's got Roses, and then we kind of said that we're all going to hold McDonald's.
I didn't get Roses.
Oh, okay, you didn't. So my plan is I've got Roses now, and I want to move McDonald to F8 as kind of like my flexible pick if a great forward rookie comes along. I can swing him later. So I don't want forwards at the moment. I'm just not interested. I'm waiting for defender rookies, and I'll grab the mids that are coming up. So with Roses and McDonald at, you know, F7 and F8, I'm done for now.
Yeah, the only issue I have is if you get McComb and you get Clark and you get Carroll, they're all mids.
That's right. Is there a DPP? No, there's no DPP.
Nah.
Is there?
Nah.
Hamilton.
It's just like a quick cash grab till the buyers. If you get like 4 or 5 good weeks, they just quickly jump up.
Yeah, it's also a trade that you got to use as well. It's not a free run, is it?
Yeah.
Well, the issue for me this week is McComb's on the bubble this week, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. So if I get McComb, he's got to sit at M8 for the week, and I don't know how comfortable I'm about that.
Mm.
Well, that, it just, I guess it just depends on like how many dead players you got. Like you're, like Jisk, you said you're riding Cox from the Lions at M11. You've also got Owen still. So I've got Hoff and Hobbs. Like I'm at least getting rid of one of them and I want to get rid of both of them. Like, so you've got Hoff as well. Yeah. So I don't know. It's like it sucks during upgrade season to have to drop a correction, but I think it might, you might have to, at least on one of them. Look, Carroll's only played one game. Yeah, Owens probably ain't playing ever again because the Saints have, what, Zach Jones, Billings, Hunter Clark, all set to return. Owens is, like, so far down the pecking order. And who was the draft pick? Millera? Wanganeen Millera just had, like, a really good game. So
He was a good player, too.
Yeah, I don't think Owens is
getting there. You gotta love the Saints though on Twitter. They pumped out at round one when Owens says, "Oh, here comes Owens." He was falling steel around all summer, and then they dropped him. He got two positions or something.
Yeah, I think a lot of people picked him because he was named. I don't think people picked him because, I think it's just he was named round one. That's why everyone jumped on him. But I think he's got nothing left in him. He's got to get rid of him.
Hoff, Owens, they were both named, so we just started them.
Yeah, there's no real intel on them, was there?
So who are you looking at this week and who are you looking at over the next couple of weeks that you really, really want to get in your side? I mean, Tom Stewart's the one that got away from me. I've always loved Tom Stewart. I planned to get him in, but think my trade just went a different direction and I didn't end up getting him. Luke Parker looks exceptional value at the moment. He's back in the midfield playing in the mids. Who else are we looking at over the next couple of weeks as a target?
Well, I bought in Petrarca this week purely because I think his price is really good. Yeah, I think if you're going to get him in, I reckon get him in.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Petrarca, and I'm not a fan because I started the season with him last year. I ended the season with him as well. The problem I have with Petrarca is he explodes and gets big points in 10 minutes and then just disappears for the next 20 minutes and he passes the
ball. He does.
So he's an incredibly – he's like Bailey Smith, actually. He's just an incredibly frustrating player to own.
Yeah.
And he does have those down weeks. And when he has a down week, he gets, 60 or 70.
But you just know he's going to get a 180 or a 170, 160. You know he's going to get it. And
has he ever scored that high? I don't think he has.
No, I feel like – he probably hasn't, but, I mean, I feel like he will. He's just
– he got, like, a 160 in round one, didn't he? Look, Track is an absolute superstar. I think, isn't he carrying something though? He's got a little knee issue.
Yeah, he's got a problem. He's got fluid in there.
Yeah, that's enough to scare me off. But look, what are you going to get? Worst case, you're going to get around 110. That's an absolute worst case for what, 560K? You're fine.
Yeah, I think he's a good value. But yeah, I sort of tend to agree. But I think I'm just going to be a bit aggressive. But I mean, at that price, it's worth a risk. It's worth a risk.
So right. I suppose if you haven't got Patrick Cripps, it's now or never, isn't it? 525K with break even of 20 or something.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's now or never for Cripper. So you got Will Haywood scoring goals every week. You got Buddy in incredible form. Heaney is fit in great form, and Papley just came back. Parker he's a full time mid now. Like I reckon even at 560. He's still value as a forward pick. So I'm getting Cripps this week. Maybe I'll look at Parker next week or even the week after. I just still think there's value under 580. Even with a couple hundreds, you only get to about 560, 570. So yeah, I still think that's fine. I'm looking at Dawson as a cheap backline option. He's got a break even of about 120 something. So if he scores, 90 or 100 this week, he'll be around 500K. And then I just think, if a Hinge or a Miller come back in the back line and Dawson goes back to the wing, just, taking all their inside 50s, I think he's good for, say, 105, and he could even push the 110. So I think he's good value. I think Bailey Dale is still really well priced. What was that? Sorry?
Stay away from my man, Wayne.
Always overlooked, and that's coming from GWS.
Stay away from my man, Wayne.
Yeah.
had him all last year. It was the biggest POD ever.
Yeah. The only problem, again, he's around 12, but, nothing like having your whole defence is round 12. So coming for me, Dawson, maybe, although I prefer my players from winning sides. And I think I still haven't got Sicily.
Neither.
He's proven London to a brick, though. As soon as I get Sicily in, he'll sign a contract.
Well, look at Grundy. The same thing happened with Grundy, didn't it?
Yeah.
Nah, so I reckon Sicily is matured. I reckon he wants the captaincy. I reckon he's a gun. This ain't stopping.
Yeah, I really can't get him in, but I really want to get him in, but I can't. I can probably skip out of Petrarca and upgrade someone else, but.
Yeah. I think we're arguing over nothing in the midfield and defence. I think there's so many options there, and you can't really go wrong with most of those options. It's the forward line, I think, that we're all struggling with. I mean,
what about Rosé, anyone think? What about him? I think he's got the midfield time.
No, he's a trap.
You reckon?
Right? Yeah, agreed.
Very injury prone. He flashes in, but he'll go dead for 1 or 2 or 3 weeks. I wouldn't touch him.
Look, I reckon he's a fine pick. I reckon he's going to get the midfield time.
I think he'll go at least
90. Like the thing is that he went from having zero CBAs, like he never even got the odd one. You know, he was just a full-time forward. To even if he doesn't get the 20 plus and is their number one mid, he's still going to get now a handful, right? That damn wall's been broken. Like he's going to at least get some mid time, which means he's going to at least go around 90. The thing is that he just gained like what, 40, 50K? I reckon you had to get him last week.
But who's taking me full time? I don't think anyone's going to come in and take me full time off him. I think he's
there. Boke is just getting more time at half forward, so he's lost a few CBAs. Amon is like on the border of getting dropped, so he's losing a few CBAs and he's just playing more wing. And then I think they've just reduced Pal Pepper's more half forward. And then it's just like Wines, Butters, and Rosie is there. Yeah. Their main midfield group. And the only two games and half a game against Carlton that they've looked good is with Rosie in the midfield. So
the role's definitely there, but like you guys said, sort of a trap, but it's definitely worth the gamble if you can afford the trade and afford the cap room. I mean, at 440K, whatever it was, I think you can't really go wrong at that price.
But 440 is still much, because for 60K more, you can still get Parker.
If you
got him last week, you rolled the dice last week at 400K, that was the way to go for me. I just think at 440, like he's getting closer to, like there's just better options for me.
So if we say we missed the boat on Rosie, and I think we're locking Dunkley, Cogs and Brody, and probably even Butters if you got him, you're not trading him. So it leaves 2 or 3 spots. Isaac Heaney's probably a no-brainer, although it's always Isaac Heaney at the end of the day. Dylan Moore's the one that's really impressed me. Like every week, I expect him to just fall apart again as sort of that, I don't know, half forward flanker role. But he's just so impressive. Every week, he just keeps scoring.
Is he playing permanent forward line? Because I haven't really watched many Auckland games.
He sort of plays between like sort of a wing half forward flank role.
Yeah, it's like a really high half forward, and he's there. He's like their transition man.
Okay.
Like every time they go forward from defense, he pretty much gets the ball. The thing is, did he just have his highest score for the year? Like I think he'll go around 100, but did he just get his 150 and that's going to be his only 150 for the year?
Yeah, I don't think
you're paying 500K for a breakout and he's not getting midfield. Like people will reckon he's going to, like he'll start getting more and more mid time and he'll be a genuine mid because he's like super quick and he's really silky and smooth, but. Yeah, I don't know. 500K speculative. Yeah.
Steve, 0.7% ownership. Is everyone wrong?
His lower score is 88.
But there's not too many
other ones. He's a gun. Don't get me wrong. He's a really good player. I just think that, and you know, the player I'm about to name, people just have been burnt by him so many times because he's disposal, but. Taranto's 500K with a break-even. Taranto is 500K with a break-even of 131, and he's coming up with Geelong. You're telling me you wouldn't pay, what, 470, 480 for Taranto?
Oh, yeah, I'm stupid enough to do that.
I would really be impressed if you... I'd encourage you to do that, Steve, because I can't wait for the melts.
No melts. Oh, yeah. No melts. Great. Last year, he averaged 97, and that was a bad year because it was mid only. This year, he's a forward. So if he goes 97 again, that's a win.
Fucking here we go again. The start of last year, everyone said, no, no, he'll average 90, and that's fine for an MA. And then he averaged 97, and everyone's cracking the shits. He's not scoring enough.
Yeah, I had him all last year to the finals. I got rid of him. I couldn't have
him. I'll give you a little bargain pick for your forward line. Pat Lipinski.
So who are the other locks there? So we're saying that the last two in the forward line are up for grabs. You just don't know who to get, and we just have to take it with someone.
Tommy Green looks okay, I think, too.
Has everyone got English?
No, I had him, but I couldn't.
Oh, big guy carrying the ruck load coming back from a hammy and 570K. I'm pretty scared.
Yeah, he'll bottom out. He's going to bottom out, I reckon. And then
we're all paying this year, Steve. That could be a good pick then.
Look, I think we're all paying top dollar for the primo gods, that we're all looking for a bit of value. Heaney's a decent price. Parker's a decent price. Taranto's dropping. Libba's getting more mid time.
Well, Dusty Martin, he's back this week.
Dusty's back. Trelaw's.
Oh, fuck. You know, everyone trade Dusty. Everyone get Dusty. Get Dusty.
The melts will
for
be great.
For those who, I mean, for you guys, I mean, obviously I started him. Jordy DeGoey is about to drop big time. And he last week with a 76, he was like really good. He just, you know, shanked a few kicks, and then he got the CD treatment and just got like no points for all his possessions. And then he had gastro all week, so he scored a 60 and had no mid time. I think he'll be a good pickup for you guys at like 430, 440 in about a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah. I had him originally in my starting side, and I got cold feet and downgraded him. But yeah, he's definitely one to watch. Considering he's as well, he's playing for a contract. I mean, as you know, players play out their skin in the last year of a contract. I think it's just, you know, part and parcel, really. And then they go to shit after they sign for 5 years, 6 years or whatever.
What about trade boost? How many you got left, Steve?
I have two left.
Yeah, me too, and I'm thinking I'm going to use one this week because...
Oh, wait, sorry. I have three, and I'm thinking of using the third, so... But yeah, I may not.
Well, I've got two, and I'm definitely using one this week because I'll get Cripps, Parker, and Clark, probably. Wayne, what about yourself?
I've got two left, and I'll keep those now. I won't use any more until possibly the buys or just after the buys. I'll sit... I've used three. I've done two trades. I'm down to 23 trades. I'll use one or two a week. So hopefully I'll get to the buys and have 18 or 19 trades coming into the buys.
Yeah.
Three?
You know, I've got two left. I think I'm going to do the exact same thing as Wayne is. Yeah, I'll use one this week purely because I can and I can afford it. But yeah, I think I'm going to use one, at least one in the buys, probably the middle of the buys to pounce.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm interested in that tactic because for me, I normally spend the week before the buys and the first week of the buy just cashing out rookies and just building up a war chest. So coming into the second buy round, I've normally got 600 or 700K sitting in a bank just ready to go shopping. So to have three trades in the second buy round and three trades in the third buy round is just bucket loads of trades. So, I mean, and I suppose this is where it's interesting to see how these tactics are used because for me right now, at this very point in time, I want to get Parker and Cripps and these sort of players. So just burn through the trade boost, get them all out the way, build your team as quickly as possible, and then set yourself up in buys.
Well, I mean, we've always got through pretty well with three trades in the buys anyway. So, I mean, it's not going to be not foreign to us just having three trades. It's fine. It's no issue.
So, I was thinking about this the other day, and I mean, it's not really a positive thought for myself and, you know, a few others who are pretty far back. I think in the past, we've seen huge ranking changes over the buys and throughout the year. And even if you had a really bad start, you could, you know, really, you know, with the right trades, you could... push up the ranks. The issue this year is that there are so many value picks who are killing it that we pretty much everyone went and got. And then the DPP changes have just made it even easier. More trades have made it even easier. I think it's harder to climb and I am not confident at all in climbing, even if I get my team looking good. I just think there are just so many clear cut, like after last year, the way the midfields went, like what do we have, like 5-6 players go like 120 plus, like everyone's just loaded in the midfield with all these stars. Like we were given Lackey Neal for free, you know, he was like 550K. You got Cripps pumping out 120s for cheap as well. There are just so many cheap players that I think it's really just hard to climb. Like 470 for Parker and he just pumps out a 150 and he's going to be getting
20 contested touches. But insane that though, insane that you only one good captaincy choice that everyone else hasn't got to climb their ranks. That's how close it is. You know, and one good, I guess, loophole as well. That's how close it is. So you can catch up, I think, easily, even more easy, to be honest.
Really? Okay. Yeah. We'll see. I hope that's the case.
Yeah, if you, I think I'm what 5,000-ish, and I think I'm like 200 or 300 points away from the top 1,000, and that's say going steel 160, and everyone else going go on at 120, he fails or something like that. You know, you can catch up so quickly.
So, what's your total score right now and your rank?
Give me 1 second. I think my total score.
Here you go.
No, so you go. I just got to get it up.
Oh yeah, so I'm 16K rank with 15,826 total score.
Yeah, so I'm currently my total score. Where is it? Give me 1 sec. My total score is 16,037, and ranked.
Yeah, so 200 points. 200 yeah. points better off, and you're 11K rank ahead of me. Okay.
No. I'm ranked. Yeah, ranked 5,371st. So
yeah.
So I mean, yeah. I mean, fair enough.
I guess we are so early, and I'm just being a bit pessimistic, I guess. Yeah. We've only had seven rounds.
That's unlucky, like... Steve.
you got to have faith, brother.
Yeah.
No, I think there's so much room. Yeah, and the buyers as well. People could just give up on the buyers, and like I normally used to do, and you can catch up there if you take them seriously, and people don't. There's 3 weeks there to catch up as well, so I wouldn't worry too much about it at the moment.
Yeah, no, you make a good point. Just quickly want to touch on a couple of players. Get some thoughts. So, Nick Martin, keeper or not? F6 keeper?
Luxury trader.
I don't think he's a keeper, but he's at the moment. I think he'll burn out as the season goes on, but certainly don't want to touch him at the moment. Just leave him sit there. He probably did one last upgraded for me.
But, yeah, but is the plan... Oh, he's got a round 12 buy, so that doesn't help. So you wouldn't trade him to somebody. Okay, so just like hold on and luxury trade post buy or something. That what we're thinking?
I'm thinking keeping.
Well, if he keeps going the way he is, he's absolutely keeper. But I just think he'll run out of puff after the buys. I just think it's a long season and we'll get to the stage where we'll have to trade him.
Yeah,
but if he doesn't run out of puff, he's finishing top 10, I reckon, with the average.
Yep. Yep, agreed.
And one more who's actually has a late buy, so this is, you know, favourable. Will Brody has the round 14 buy.
He'll burn out.
Are you looking to trade him in his round 14 buy?
I am, yes. I've already pre-planned that, yeah. Definitely. I think he'll burn out.
I think he's my ticket. He's my only ticket to Jack Steele in round, you know, 13 or 14. I'd just say 14 when he has his buy. That's my plan right now. And I'm hoping that, you know, there's more hundreds to come and he can hover around that 450.
I just reckon you're both dreaming that you're planning what you're going to do in 7 weeks' time. Jesus Christ. I had all these trades planned and then Hewitt's out, Hinge doesn't come back, Young didn't come back from COVID. I just had to change all my trades. I missed Rosa because I was going to cop donuts everywhere, things just changing so quickly. I don't think you can make those sort of calls. And if Brody and Nick Martin are still playing now or playing in the buyers the way they are now, you're not going to trade them. So you might think they're going to fall apart, but you just got to pay that by year when you get to it.
I also see Brody getting a rest as well at some point soon, purely because the work he's doing. And
I can talk about it. He has a rest every weekend, half the game.
Yeah, no, definitely agree with that.
Well, they have North and the Suns and the Pies, so
yeah, he's already dual rest.
Yeah, the issue is they're losing players to COVID, and they want to keep winning. They need top four, even top two. If that's what they're thinking of now, they've just beat the Cats. They really want a final in Perth. So,
well, do you think that Fife will take his spot?
I don't think Fife takes his spot. I think Fife will come back through the forward line. I think his job security is rock solid. I've been saying that from day one. He's like,
yeah,
without like he's like preserving Brayshaw and Sarong, like, and helping well, these we all players thought, get better.
Well, we all thought the money was taking his spot, and that never happened. And I mean, he's definitely holding his own in there at the moment. So,
yeah, I just think like obviously the Freo scoring against the Cats was a bit off. Like they won the game, but all their scoring was just low. Coming up against North, you'd assume they're going to absolutely smack him. But let's say Brody pumps out another 70 with just like, you know what, like 15 handballs to nobody and just like doesn't really do much. And then his break even is above 100. Do we start? Like a lot of people would trade him out. A lot of people would just cash him out.
Yeah, no, I'll keep him. I'll keep him.
I think it's going to be interesting to see if he goes low, like a 60 or a 70, to see how many trade him out, because people are going to be very scared of a massive break even. And with at 450, 430K, whatever, he could get you an absolute ultra primo.
Yeah, but then he has to go 120 and he goes back up.
No, but that's the point that we're talking about before, though, isn't it? Yeah, if you're going to trade him, you've got to trade him a primo. And if you've already got Dunkley, Butters, Cogs and Heaney, there's no other obvious targets up forward that are going to outscore Brody by a lot anyway.
Yeah, but you got the DPP. Like, I've got Brody at M8 at the moment, so I could flip him to a mid-primo.
Wherever the defensive
I know
as well.
What you mean. Yeah. Anyway, I think it'll be an interesting dilemma, and it happens every year, you know, like, you know, a rookie doing good or a mid-pricer doing good, and then they have a couple bad weeks. A lot of people trade them out, and then those who hold, you know, end up winning because they just go straight back to doing good again. But, yeah, interesting times.
Let me throw a player at you. Braden Bruce. He's going to max out before the buys. Who's your target for R2 now that Grundy's out and English has got hamstring issues?
Bruce, R2.
Once he maxes out, which he would, and you got him in his cash cow, you didn't get him in his keeper, let's be honest. And he's not a keeper.
If he's averaging 110, you're keeping him.
I think Bruce can be a keeper.
If he's averaging 110, definitely.
The guy's 26. He's just building conditioning. And they're playing Flynn, who's giving him a chop out. I think he can be a keeper for sure. The way we got no Grundy. Look, I'm not paying 500, 550 plus for Wits. I'm just not doing it. The guy's like, he's old. He's coming back from a knee reco. There's no way I'm paying that much for Wits. I would have paid it like a couple of weeks ago. Would have been great, but I'm not doing that. You know, I'm not touching Laddams. I'm just looking at the averages. Riley O'Brien's a good player, but he's not going to average more than 105 or 100.
Does nothing so around the ground. Does nothing. Yeah,
Riley O'Brien, shit.
So it's like Sean Darcy, who is like coming back, drops more cash, pumps out big scores. So it's either Darcy or it's Bruce at R2 for the.
He's just so dopey, though.
Let me rephrase the question. What happens if Bruce does a hammy? He's out for 4 weeks.
We'll bring Mumford in.
then we just grab Flynn or Briggs. Who's next in line?
Yeah. Well, Bruce.
Nah, I don't know. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Bruce grabbed at his calf in the last half last week. He's an injury waiting to happen.
That's
wishful thinking from the only person in the top 50,000 that didn't get him, Wayne.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But we're talking about not touching English because he has a hammy issue and then saying that Bruce is a keeper. I mean, Bruce has got awful injury history and we're talking about him as being...
Yeah, but it's the same thing with Martin and Brody. Like, if he's just still pumping out hundreds, then you're just going to keep him. Look, don't get me wrong. I'm fully expecting... But at the moment, I think Bruce can be a fine R2 because there's no clear option. I'm hoping that English comes back and they decide to keep Martin in and he just pumps out a few 80s and he drops a little bit, then sure, or English could be a decent R2.
Just as a matter of interest, who's Bruce played so far? What teams?
Melbourne,
yeah.
Right.
Not Essendon.
Not Essendon.
Actually, hasn't played Melbourne.
He's played Wits and he...
Sean Darcy.
He beat him. He's played short 30-plus hit-outs. And then, obviously, the Saints one was a walkover. And then he had Rob. So he's versed some decent opposition.
Yeah, well, Rob's a walkover. He's one of the worst ruckmen in the AFL. Rob.
The only people who say that are Crows supporters. The rest of the footy world
It's a fact. It's an absolute fact. He only gets points from marks around the ground.
But didn't he play against Marshall and Paddy in round six against the Saints?
No, that was so Ryder wasn't there, and Ryder was suspended, and then Hayes did the ACL,
yeah,
and then Marshall got injured like halfway through, and
oh, yeah, yeah,
against Josh Battle,
that's,
who
that's right, yeah,
just became a midfielder.
Yeah, and everyone rejoiced except Wayne.
Yeah, well, look, I wish him the best.
No, you do not. You put a hex on him.
So, Wayne, just quick question. I totally get holding on to the Primo and not getting Proust. The question is, why didn't you look at Proust at R3?
I think it's because...
You wanted Hayes.
What I find quite funny is that we go back to the pre-season chat thread and everyone was staying away from particular players because of their injury histories. Yeah, we talked about English now. You know, we don't touch him because he's had a hammy. We deliberately said don't pick players that have got injury histories. And Proust has got one of the biggest. Now, I understand the cash value and how much money you can make by cashing in Grundy to Proust. But the assumption is that he's going to be playing every week. And I just wasn't prepared to take that risk.
Mm.
So, look,
I agree. Time will tell
whether I'm right or wrong.
I think you're wrong so far, but...
Yeah, absolutely I am. Yes. Right?
But if he goes down with an ACL, if he gets rubbed out this week, I mean, he could be a genius.
Well, yes, no, never really, know. Because he's missed out on 170K he's already raised.
Well, that's true. It's true.
Yeah,
but Wayne brought Witts in, who's just casually pumping out 130s, and he's the clear R2 at the moment. So,
but that was a pretty straight swap from Grundy to Proust. I think it was about $20,000 difference.
Did you trade Grundy the week before he got injured, or the week he got injured?
No, the week after he got injured.
Okay. Yep.
All right. So for me, I wanted a keeper at my R2. I didn't want to speculate there. And look, Witt's got 134 or something on the weekend. So I can't be unhappy with that.
Yeah, but who was he against, though? That's the thing. Competition wasn't great.
Who'd Gold Coast play?
Well, I couldn't tell you that without going through the fixture, but I'm just going, what happened the weekend? But yeah.
Yeah, look.
Yeah, he played against the Grundy-less Pies.
Yes.
So Cameron and Big. No, look, the thing is that there's so many established ruckmen who are getting injured and falling down. So, like, Witts has Sydney this week. He's got Laddams, right? That would usually be Hickey, but he's out. The week after, he's got Freo. Like, who knows if that's going to be Meek or Darcy? Darcy's just, like, fallen over nonstop.
And then Darcy's, you also got
the COVID issue and all that stuff. And then... after that, he's got the Doggies, who he's going to have English, you'd assume, but then you got all Steph. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's, I think you should have taken Bruce's at R3, but and I totally get why you didn't. But I still think Hayes will make very good money. Don't look at last round. He versed Ryder. Like, what's he going to do? Like, he's...
And look at the weather. The weather conditions weren't great either.
The weather was bad and he was up against Ryder. And now Adelaide Oval, he's got Steph Martin because he's not going to be ready.
I don't think you can look at rucks like that, though. You can't look at who they're rucking against because that's not how ruckmen score their points.
No, it's a house advantage.
Yeah, so it's a house advantage. So it's the midfield they're playing and also how they move around the ground, athletic ability to score around the ground. And that's where, as we discussed in the preseason podcast, Gorn comes into his own with the contested marks he's got as well. So who they're rucking against makes absolutely no difference. And you can see that with Proust, who's an absolute amateur and has been scoring well against good ruckmen. So yeah,
Sam Hayes, because that guy doesn't even know what to do with the ball. He relies on...
He really doesn't. Does he?
Well, it's fascinating that given how highly rucks are scoring, he's only scored 53 in an entire game. That's just, I don't even know. How's that possible?
He just doesn't do enough around the ground, and he got absolutely mauled by Ryder in the rucks. That's pretty much it. And I'm pretty sure Port did well in the midfield. I think they were like just sharking a lot of Ryder's hits. He just didn't get enough of the.
I couldn't watch that game.
Oh yeah, that game was terrible.
So I'm mindful we can keep talking all night, but it's we need to start wrapping up. The last question I wanted to ask, I had on a sort of Hugh Dixon. I've noticed a lot of people are trading out Hugh Dixon. I just cautiously warn people against that because we've lost Hayes now, that ruck forward combo. Most people have got rid of English, another ruck forward. And if you get rid of Dixon, unless you've got someone else that I don't have, that's your last ruck forward gone. So when Hayes does max out, it's very, very hard to cash in on him without just downgrading to some random rookie sitting at that ruck position. So just take some caution with Dixon. What are you guys doing?
I never had Dixon to begin with.
I've traded him out this week. I understand what you're saying, but once Hayes is ready to be cashed out, I can't afford to have a $200,000-$250,000 R3 sitting there. I'll just grab $102,000 or
$117,000
ruck forward.
Burn a trade. Yeah, for $100,000, it's sort of worth it in a sense, but it's not.
I have Luke Jackson, who, despite a couple of shocking weeks, I plan on keeping for the year. And if all goes well, and I can luxury move him to F7. So when it's time to cash in Hayes, I will grab somebody like Combin or Edwards or Samson Ryan. Like, he's been doing all right as well. You know, we don't know what's going to happen at Richmond. So, you know, Combin was touted to get a few games, so I'm sure he will at some point. I'll just do that, and then I'll just swing with Jackson. So that's my plan, having Jackson. But I get what you're saying. Like, if you didn't have Jackson or if you don't have English, you may be left with just nobody at R3, and that's a bit scary in, you know, this season with all the injuries happening and COVID and stuff.
But remember the old days when you set four ruckmen? That was the best. They'll be ideal right now if you're going to have four rucks. That's the thing that I'd love to have right now.
Yeah, I just think you need to have someone with forward ruck able to go into R3 if Bruce goes down, for example. Right, you just need to have some backup. So just keep that in the back of your mind anyway, unless you're happy to burn a couple of trades, which is also good as well.
I wouldn't be surprised if we all end up with English. Like, I can see him coming back and then
playing. I'm going to get him back first chance I get. I think he's just definitely just going to go up.
Not straight away, but because I reckon they might. I reckon they might go Steph and English for a couple of weeks when he gets back. Especially because they're struggling in a forward line, and English actually did well as a forward last year. So I wouldn't be surprised if they rolled two rucks for a bit and hopefully he drops and we can all grab him at about 500K.
Yep, I can agree.
All right, gents, we might wrap it up there. It's been a long night, but it's been great discussion. Good having Freddie along. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. It's good. Loved it.
Great. And hopefully we'll get another reg on next week. Hopefully Buttocks is available.
He'll be a good listener, I reckon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks, bye, everybody.